Thank you, Chairman. I'm somebody who sits outside the licence fee system, or rather I sit on the peripheries of it. I pay a licence fee. Maybe Rhiannon White, if she's here, who, as it were, sits inside the BBC, might like to contribute to or complement what I have to say. Manfred asked me to talk about this a couple of days ago, so I haven't prepared an elaborate presentation. I thought a useful title for this presentation would be "Will Hypothecation Remain the Name of the Game?" Will hypothecation remain the name of the game? I need to explain that. The license fee is the one tax in the United Kingdom for which the destination of the money that is collected is decided in advance. It goes to the BBC. It is a system which the British Treasury does not like, because what the British Treasury likes is to collect all the taxes in from all the sources in the United Kingdom and then to distribute it to the beneficiaries to which it wants to distribute it for political purposes. So within the British fiscal context, the licence fee is an anomaly. There used to be another anomaly called the motor tax, the road tax, and I'll come to that in a minute. A very quick introduction to the basis of the license fee, in that it is collected from, traditionally, from every household with a television set. You don't have to pay the license fee if you only listen to radio. This has now been extended to every household with a piece of equipment which can receive television, and therefore, as it were, tries to account for the new developing reception technology. And I think the thing that one might wish also to point out is that if you are over 75, you do not have to pay a license fee to receive television. And there are, of course, issues about if we have grandma who is living, who is over 75 and is living with us, and then she pays the license, or she receives the license to receive, the household that then doesn't have to pay. So there are complications, as Wolfgang Schultz was telling us. In Germany there are, about when you've got mixed households. And then the issue is, well, if granny lives in a flat underneath the house, is it a separate piece of accommodation or is it the same piece of accommodation? And that may devolve on precise postal addresses and things like that. The license fee, of course, is a regressive tax in that the same charge is made both to poor and to rich people. And for that reason, you probably find that a lot of poorer people do not pay, maybe through incompetence, or maybe they just cannot afford to pay. Under the British system, you can be fined for not paying your license fee, but then if you don't pay your fine, you are liable to be sent to prison for not paying the fine. And there have been a number of cases where magistrates have seen poor people come to them who can't or haven't paid the license fee, haven't paid the fine, and are therefore eligible to go to prison, and the magistrates have simply said, don't bother, just get yourself back on your feet financially and you don't have to go to prison. So there is a sort of small minor revolt, if I can put it that way, amongst some magistrates who actually think that the regressive nature of the license fee is not worth sending people to prison for not paying the fine. And I need to make the distinction between whether you are having to pay the fine or whether you are actually for not having to pay the fine for not paying the license fee, or whether you're actually paying the license fee itself. So that's the license fee, and that's what we might call the financial base, as it is at the moment. When I saw the term base, the base of the license fee, it's not really quite a term that we use in English, and it raises the thought of, if this is the base, what is the superstructure, as Marx would say? Now, the superstructure is, as it were, the BBC. Historically, one of the roles of the BBC has not simply been to produce programmes, but to encourage people to buy new generations of receiving equipment, first radio sets and then television sets, different sorts of television sets. And in the last license fee renewal, I should perhaps explain that the BBC has a 10-year charter from the government to broadcast, and the last charter, which was renewed in 2006, runs from 2007 to 2016, but the license fee decision, the level of the license fee is decided by the government, only runs for the first 5 years, from 2007 to 2011. So we are now going through a procedure where the BBC is organising itself and trying to situate itself within the national media framework to get its license fee renewed. Now, one of the tasks of the BBC that it was set in 2007, and this was a requirement in order for it to get its license fee renewal, it was a requirement imposed by the government, was to get viewers to switch from analogue television to digital television. That is, to allow the introduction in 2012 of what is called analogue switch-off, which means that every household has to buy either a digital television set or a set-top converter that allows their analogue set to receive digital signals. The BBC took this on somewhat reluctantly, because it was actually rather a change of role for it, but in particular what happened was that the platform on which the digital terrestrial signals could be received, a platform called Freeview, first of all was a jointly owned platform with people in the commercial sector, but secondly, it had far more channels than the BBC needed, and thirdly, the BBC has effectively been paying something like 97% of the marketing costs to encourage people for switchover. So there's been very substantial BBC subsidy, or if you like, license fee subsidy, to get the British people to switch over from their analogue set to digital sets. Now, the digital platform, Freeview, has a substantial number of channels, and it is a free-to-air platform for many of those channels, certainly the public service channels. But there are also on that platform subscription channels, which are not run by the BBC, but what the BBC has effectively been doing is to use license fee money to roll out a platform on which commercial operators can offer pay subscription channels. So you're getting this crossover between what is a state-financed free-to-air system. The BBC's programmes are carried on it, and indeed are some of the most popular channels on that platform, but it's also providing a platform for commercial operators to roll out their commercial services on. Now, as we move from this first period, 2007 to 2011, a number of people outside the BBC have been looking at the money that license fees have been paying for that digital rollout and saying, ah, the BBC is not going to need that money after 2011. We would like some of it. First of all, Ofcom, the British regulator, which is closely concerned with regulating the commercial sector, has long had a project for what is called a public service publisher. That is to say, a body which will both finance and make available programs which would not normally be produced by the commercial sector. When Ofcom was first established, it looked at a range of different program genres, and it decided that certain genres, such as arts programs and current affairs programs, would not normally be financed under a commercial system, and therefore there needed to be a form of state finance to subsidize the production of these. So Ofcom has been looking at that money. Secondly, as the economic crisis has become more intense, independent television, which has traditionally been a public service broadcaster in the UK, financed by the sale of advertising time, has started to say that it wants to withdraw from what were its previous public service commitments. And one in particular, that of the provision of regional news programmes, it found particularly burdensome, and it was trying to negotiate to withdraw from this commitment, but Ofcom was looking for a way of continuing the provision of regional news programmes, for which there was quite a deal of support. There were a lot of regional lobby groups in parts of northern England and so on, who said, look, we want to continue with regional news, having our regional news programmes. And again, Ofcom was starting to look to that excess BBC money, what was called top slicing, the licence fee revenues. And also, that was linked in with the decline in the regional newspapers, which were losing advertising, and so there were various plans put afoot to provide a new regional news service which would combine regional newspapers taking editorial responsibility with license fee revenues from the BBC after digital switchover. Those proposals, the BBC, of course, was very hostile to those proposals. And as far as I can see at the moment, they're no longer on the agenda. But you never can tell. So the BBC found itself also in quite a difficult position, being responsible for digital rollout, of being both partly an independent broadcaster, but partly also an agent of the government for getting digital rollout to enable analog switch off. The BBC, of course, in 2007 was set up as a dual structure with what was called the BBC Trust, which calls itself a regulator of the BBC Board of Management, who are the people who actually produce the programmes. The BBC Trust was set up as an outward-looking body to consult licence payers about developments in BBC policy, rather than simply looking to government. Although, in fact, ultimately, the trust, in a legal sense, is the BBC. So there's this very complicated structure in which the trust is regulating the BBC management and is looking outward to licence payers, but at the same time, the trust is the BBC. Nevertheless, the trust has tried to chart a path in which it is actually sees itself as being accountable and looking outwards. It has recognised, of course, these political problems which face the licence fee revenues which will be coming to it. And it has tried to, through public opinion polls and various devices, try to assess the way in which the BBC should move forward and indeed the level of licence fee that it should seek to obtain from 2012 to 2016, the second 5-year period of its 10-year charter. Now, this has presented BBC with some quite tricky problems. The BBC management has produced a plan to, as it were, rationalise and improve efficiency, and possibly, although it's not really admitted, to actually to reduce the licence fee revenues that it's been needing. The trust is just coming to the end of a public consultation process of what the BBC's new strategy will be. In brief, the BBC wants to reduce some of its website activity, reduce the size of its website, close down a digital radio station, and concentrate its production on really on two things: on being the best reporter in the world, although it's never not quite clear what being the best means, but there's clearly an ambition there. And secondly, of concentrating on supporting British creative production. So it's very much emphasising the production end of its responsibilities. When it comes to the distribution of its signals, this has not really been thought through. And I thought I might just read to you a couple of sentences from... This is from the BBC Trust's comments in its consultation document on the proposals for a strategic review of the BBC management. So it's an internal comment, but which has been made public, as it was to feed into the public debate. BBC Trust says, for the distribution of those services, this is all the services which are in the BBC management's proposals, where should the limits be set on the BBC's involvement in future platforms? Future platforms. Linked to the Trust's own review of syndication policy. Interesting phrase, that's syndication policy. That syndication of its programmes, one presumes. Secondly, what universality of access to BBC services should mean in the future, and where the balance should be struck between pursuing new technology and finding existing gaps in coverage. Pursuing new technology, finding gaps in coverage, and what the next steps might be for the development of the existing free-to-air window on iPlayer, which is the catch-up TV service, the subsequent commercial windows, and the development of an online archive. So this is saying, where should the BBC be positioning itself in an online world, in a converged world? So, those questions around where the programmes that the BBC makes should be distributed and how they should be distributed have not been resolved. And that takes us on to the final area, which is actually the distribution of signals online. And I now start to come back to my first point that I was making about hypothecation of the license fee, and where the BBC will sit and what license revenues will pay for in a converged world. And those two questions are quite problematically linked together, because on the one hand, you've got a government which has as a policy, and this applies whoever wins yesterday's election, to rolling out broadband across the United Kingdom. The question is, how is that going to be paid for? Now, as I think I mentioned, in the old days, when roads were being built, a tax was placed on motor cars, which was called a road tax, which was every time a car was licensed each year, the revenues from that went to build out the roads along through the United Kingdom along which those cars could drive. However, after a certain point in time, all the roads had been built, and the roads tax simply went to the Treasury, who then redistributed some of it to road building but kept the rest for whatever purposes they deemed to be politically the best. The possibility exists, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, that not all of the license fee revenues will go to the BBC. If you actually look at the small type in the BBC agreement with the government, it says the BBC will be financed by license fees or by such proportion of license fees as the Secretary of State, that's the government, thinks suitable. So theoretically, the possibility is there to cut the revenues for the BBC by half or quarter or whatever. The proposals for broadband rollout, the Labour government proposed to finance this by a tax on telephone lines in every household, not on mobile telephones, but on landlines. A monthly tax on telephone usage across the whole country. The Conservatives opposed this when in opposition. They said that this should either be done by increased efficiencies through network interconnections, or money should be taken from the BBC license fee. So we're starting to see the issue of, is the license fee to fund the production of programmes, or is it to actually fund the roads, the platforms, the networks along which commercial operators can drive their services? The debate, I think, hasn't really started yet, and it's difficult to know how quickly it will start. From what I've been able to ascertain, nobody in the United Kingdom has looked at the state aid rules of the European Union on broadband network rollout. As far as I know, nobody has really thought of what is a white area in the United Kingdom, to which I referred yesterday in my presentation, what is a black area. That is, they've thought about getting the money in, but they haven't thought precisely how that money will be dispersed. So, in brief, I think the United Kingdom is in a very fluid situation. The BBC is in a situation of not knowing how far it should expand to follow every new technological opportunity, or whether it should cut its coat according to its cloth. And I think the Treasury probably still hates the license fee because it is hypothecated. Thank you.